From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. California is home to the most Latinos in the country, over 15 million, making up 40% of the state's population. And that translates to voting power. According to the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials, more than 6 million ballots were mailed out to California Latino voters for next week's primary. And the nonprofit projects voter turnout could break a record, which was set back during the 2020 presidential election. But is the enthusiasm there? And not to mention, voting behaviors have also evolved in that time and are far from uniform. Here to talk about the impact Latino voters have on next week's California primary is political consultant Luis Alvarado, who specializes in the Latino vote. Welcome to Insight. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Always a pleasure being with you.
Yes. Now joining us at noon with the broadcast at 7 p.m. I want to get to the latest numbers from Political Data Inc., which tracks ballot returns across the state. So more than 6 million ballots were mailed out to Latino voters in California. As of this moment, a week ahead of the primary, 4% have been returned. What does that say to you? How does that track with previous election years?
I had a conversation a few minutes ago with the guru, Paul Mitchell, which was the information you just quoted. And, you know, straight up, he just says they're not there. They're just not showing up. And specifically, there's many reasons why you can assume that that's not happening, but they are absolutely tracking much less than they have in past elections.
Going back to the last two elections, from the 2020 to the midterm in 2022 to now in 2024, just looking at these three election years, what have been the biggest changes? Because 2020 was record-breaking. And this is a presidential election.
Yes, it's a but we're in the presidential primary. So, you know, distinguish between the November election and today, I assure you there's going to be more Latino enthusiasm, and my favorite word is effervescency when it comes to the Latino vote. And you have to fire something up. I just finished reading an article in the Los Angeles Times about Los Angeles CD14 race, where there are multiple Latinos trying to take a seat there to get Kevin DeLeon to relinquish his seat. And the article overall states that there is no fire. There is no incandescent issues. There is no fire. There's no attacks. There is no AIs. It's just plain vanilla. This is who I am, and this is what I'm going to do. And it's kind of merging into, you know, the prism of it's not just a Latino voters. It's general electors mentality. So we see not just the fact that there's Latinos are not voting. It's young Latinos, which when it comes specifically to our communities, the majority of the Latinos in our community are younger Latinos. So when you see that they are not being motivated to come and work, senior citizens, Latino senior citizens are in par with their counterparts and the other demographics. But we need the Latino youngster to come out and vote, and we're not seeing that at all.
Mm. Okay, but if I heard you correctly, you think that there's going to be a bump up when it comes to the general election in November. These factors don't really change when it comes to the candidates, when it comes to it being a younger electorate. Why do you think that we'll see a higher turnout? I mean, I know historically general elections are higher turnout than primary, but when it comes to the Latino vote, this specific election, why do you think more voters will be drawn out in November compared to March 5th?
Exactly the top of the ticket, because I think younger voters have no interest in selecting a local judge. They have no interest in doing the research or equivocating how a vote for your district attorney primary selection is going to impact their daily lives, as opposed to the presidential candidate. And I think that's the magic key that we're talking about, is that in Latinos and the Latino community, most of our voters are of the younger classification.
So when I hear that, I hear that there's a struggle with outreach and with engagement. What are the challenges to getting more engagement among younger Latino voters in California?
I always revert back to the campaigns, and I haven't seen any campaign be fresh when it comes to addressing the young voters. I think that we're seeing a lot of debates for the big ticket races. We're seeing targeted mail and TV ads, but they're not talking to the young voters in the demographic and the platforms that they consume their information. I don't think that campaigns have evolved enough where they're seeking the Latino voter, specifically the younger voter or the Latino voter, in the platforms where they consume information. In the past, and I'm sure there's executives that are going to cringe at Univision and Telemundo when they hear me say that if you just won the senior citizen vote, that's where you put your dollars. But if you want to talk to young Latinos, they're not at Univision or Telemundo anymore. They used to be, because they used to watch novelas with grandma, but now they're, you know, they don't do that anymore because grandma gets to stream it, and now you have four TVs in the house, and it's not like the old days in the 80s where there was only one TV and everybody was forced to watch what grandma wanted to see. That doesn't exist anymore. Everybody gets to go to their own corners and consume news on their own way.
Yeah, yeah. They have more options, you know, as you go on with more generations. I mean, what I'm learning from you, it seems like it's hard to, that there's still a lot of work that needs to be done when it comes to learning about Latino voters. And I mean, they're, Latinos make up like 40% of the state's population. So this is really like an untapped market.
Well, for those who don't want to, because I'm not to pat myself on the back, but I have found success if you do create a campaign strategy way ahead of time that involves an investment of your resources. And no campaign's going to know exactly how much you're going to raise. But if you invest not only in just buying a voter contact information, but in building a surrogate campaign surrogate organizations, and you get people to talk about you in their local platforms, you're going to get return on investment, but that takes a lot of work and it takes a few dollars. And I see some campaigns trying to do it and being successful when they do it. And some still are just stuck in, you know, we're just sending three mailers and a Facebook ad, and that's all we're going to do.
Yeah. You know, California, and really for the country of that matter, I mean, there's been just a large growth of Latinos as far as a voting population specifically, especially within like the last decade. According to the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials, a nonprofit, between 2016 and 2024, California has seen a 44% increase in the number of registered Latino voters. What do you attribute that to?
Their education levels would be one of the first things that come to mind. You know, more and more Latinos, of the younger Latinos, you know, these Latinos are now, most of them, the great majority, are born U.S. citizens, born here. They probably don't even speak Spanish as their first language anymore. And they get more engaged with the political discourse in regular media sources and feel that they have a responsibility to be registered. And let's be frank, at least in California, I know Democrats had done a great job in creating mechanisms, like when you go to DMV to register, automatically, when you get your DMV driver's license, you automatically get registered. That didn't used to happen before. And as most of the population becomes Latino, you know, they fall into these mechanisms, and they fall into these machines that automatically register them to vote. And you're going to see more and more as the years go by.
How have voting behaviors changed? I mean, when we're talking about very broadly Latino voters, but, you know, how they vote, even what party they're affiliated with or registered to, is far from predictable. And it has evolved in recent years. How have voting behaviors changed as you've observed them?
I would go back to, 10 years back, when somehow the way you got Latinos to vote was to find some bad guy, some bad person, some bad policy that had a breath of being racist or being negative against specific Latino communities. And there was a call to action. We have to defend our people. And that was one of the most popular ways that unions, for example, used to use. You know, it's like, you know, we're going to protect ourselves. We're going to go and defend ourselves and let's come out and vote. And I don't see that anymore. And I'm happy not to see that anymore, because it means that you now have to talk about the issues. You can't just say those are the bad guys, let's go vote. You actually have to demonstrate that the issues that you're proposing or the candidates that you're supporting have a plan to do actual work in the communities to ensure that everybody's treated equally, but that there is an understanding of the challenges that working with the Latino community may pose, specifically with language and culture.
Hmm. You and I have had this conversation before. I believe we had it during the midterm in 2022. So this isn't the first or the last time. And this is a situation that's continuing to evolve. And it just seems like there are still missed opportunities. How would you advise a candidate running right now in California to reach out to Latino voters?
Well, and I'm going to use this. Sometimes it may involve even a Latino candidate themselves who don't know how to speak to a Latino community because, you know, they were not raised in that culture. And it's the first thing I would say is understand the district you're trying to represent and talk to community leaders in that district, either be religious or you know, senior citizens or veterans, and go talk to them about the issues and ask what the issues are, where other candidates have been successful in delivering projects and others have failed, and then learn how you can deliver your platform in a way that it's consumed by those specific demographics. And that includes the mix between the young Latinos and older Latinos, because there is a great difference, not just of language, but of culture. And obviously, you know, there's a difference between a Latino baby boomer and a Latino Gen Xer.
Luis, as always, thank you.
It's my pleasure always, and thanks for the invitation.
Luis Alvarado is a political strategist, and he is president of Luis Alvarado Public Affairs. Up next, the war in Ukraine is now in its third year, with no end in sight. A Sacramento-based journalist who has traveled to Ukraine since the very beginning shares an update on the fighting and the impact on Ukrainians. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.